We'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. 2 Corinthians 6. Good to have God's Word. I'm glad we have it. It's pure and preserved to every generation, including this one, I believe. And I'm glad it's in English. I'm glad we can understand it. We have it. We don't have to take a survey of what we think God wants. We don't have to guess. We've got the truth. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, "When we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I just pray in this final time in this service, Lord, that you would use me, Lord, that you'd strengthen my voice, Lord, that you'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that your word wouldn't just bounce off the walls or in our ears, but Lord, that we would apply it to our lives, that we would take it in, that it would hide in our hearts, and Lord, that you would do what your word does and illuminate areas that, Lord, maybe we need to work on, and Lord, we just want to ask you to draw us closer to you, Lord, so we can do your will in these last days. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So the second half of chapter 5, the previous one, he's talking about the ministry of reconciliation. And then in verse 20, he says, as Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Yes.
Amen. We're ambassadors. We're messengers for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are spreading His word. Aren't you glad when He changed us? Amen. When we were saved, He changed us spiritually. We went from being a sinner in darkness as an enemy of God to the opposite, right? He turned on the light spiritually. We were enlightened. We saw the truth and we became sons and daughters of God. I'm thankful for that, but because of that, because we are saved, we carry that ministry of reconciliation with us to this world. What are we showing people? We're showing people that God changes lives. Amen? That's what He did to us. If you're a Christian today, it's because your life has been changed. You know, it drives me crazy when people claim that they're a Christian and there's no difference in their life. I'm telling you, you can pray a quick prayer, but if there's no repentance, no change of life, nothing behind it, that prayer's not going to help any more than getting baptized from a dry center. You go to a wet center. There needs to be a change in your life.
Right.
And it's that change that we're carrying around and saying, hey, He can change your life too. And because we see the lost in this world, I believe they're starting to grow tired of this world. Some of them are. They're starting to see that you can't find true satisfaction out in this world, right? They'll try to find it in different places, and this world is leaving them empty. That's how we can show them that, hey, we've got something different and He can change your life. We're taking that. So then verse 1 of chapter 6, see, that's why he says, we then, connecting the last chapter to this one, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Right? If we're going to be an ambassador, a messenger for the Lord, number one, we're workers together with Him. You realize if we're going to serve the Lord, we've got to be on the same page as the Lord.
Right.
Have you ever tried that at work? Have you ever tried doing something together and one person's doing this thing, another person's doing that? You're not starting at the same time, not following the same instructions. It's a mess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now imagine us trying to do the same thing with the Lord. Right? He wants us to follow Him. He's got a will and a plan for each of our lives. And if we try to do our own will and our own plan, we're not working together with Him.
Right.
In fact, there are times in my life where I thought I was doing the Lord's will, but I was actually working against Him. Paul's the great example of that, right? He thought he was doing right. He was working against the Lord. I don't want to work against the Lord. I want to work together with Him. Amen. In step, in the same way, where He wants me to be at the right time. And He's reminding of us. But number one, we got to remember, we're His servants. We're servants of the Lord. We serve Him. And we can't do that without His help. But the best part is, we're not supposed to do this on our own. If you're doing it without the Lord's help, that's a problem, right? It's impossible to please Him without faith. Amen. We need Him to help. And you can't be a worker together with Jesus if you're not working. That's easy, right? Or if you're working at a different place or anything else. I think most people's problem today in the church is they're either not serving, right? And they're wondering why there's seems that things are going wrong in their life, right, spiritually, when they're not following God's will for your life. Zechariah says you were created for the purpose of the plan that He has for your life. You've got to serve Him. We're working together with the Lord. And as an ambassador of the King, we're bringing the King's message, right? We're taking the King's message from heaven that we've received to this earth. And as an ambassador, what that doesn't mean is I'm not down here making decisions for the King. I'm following the King's orders. Amen. Oh, yes, I'm here on His behalf, but I'm not on the throne. Amen. I think some people have that messed up. He's the one that has the authority, right? I didn't create this universe and I didn't create myself. So I'm bowing down to Him and His instructions. And if we're not doing things by the grace of God, it's in vain. Verse 2. For He has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Yeah,
preachers, we quote this all the time, right? We quote this verse all the time, and what do we say? There's an urgency of salvation. Amen. There's an urgency of getting saved. We said it again this morning. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next day or another chance or anything else. But look at the context here. Paul's not talking to the lost. Remember verse 1, he said, we. And I love Brother Andy down the road. He gave something so simple the other day. He said, we means me as the church.
Yeah.
And if he's saying we, he's talking to the church and he's saying, hey, to the Corinthian church and to us, he's not talking to the lost. I think what he's reminding us in verse 2 is, yes, when we preach and we invite those that are lost to salvation, we tell them about the urgency. But this is a reminder to the church that our job has an urgency to it. Amen. Our job to proclaim the King's message, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's an urgency today because days are running short. That's what he's saying. There's no higher calling, no greater work on this earth than spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and serving the Lord. But we're running out of time. Amen. We're running out of time. Men and women are dying, lost, and going to hell each day. And I don't remember who told me, but it's been a long time ago. He said, don't you think of hell as a nameless and faceless place. You put the names and faces of the people that are around you. Amen. The ones you work with, you go to school with, maybe even are in your own family and home. Those are the ones that if they do not accept Jesus Christ, they will go to hell as well. And when we think about that, it helps us with the urgency of what we have to do.
Amen.
This is a serious business. Verse 3, giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You know what Paul's goal was? His goal was to minister without offending anyone and without giving anyone an excuse. He didn't want to be someone's excuse why they didn't come to the gospel, why they didn't come to Jesus Christ. Now, this was his goal, but this is impossible. Amen? We cannot, it's not possible to never offend anyone.
Amen.
Amen? Especially when we're carrying the gospel that's offensive. Amen? There's nothing more offensive than telling somebody you're a sinner and the wages of sin is death and the end of that is hell. Amen? And you'll stand before God one day in judgment, not with what you believe, but with the Bible says.
Yes.
That's offensive. We're going to offend people. Amen?
Yeah.
But he's not talking about that offensive. He's saying, I don't want to offend people with the way I live that would prevent them from hearing my message.
Amen.
We can live in a way at work and all around that people are watching us. They know that we're, I hope they should know that we're a Christian. And if they're watching how we treat and how we talk to people, how we, you know, treat the employer and everything else, if they see things that are offensive to the world's standards and everything, they're going to say, now wait a second. Right? I don't want to be in somebody's way. So he wasn't concerned with hurting feelings because he did that. That's fine. That happens. He was concerned with people watching our lives. And here's the thing. If we were to walk away from Jesus Christ, people would look at us and they would have an excuse, right? If I walked away from Jesus Christ and walked away from everything he's called me to, I bet there would be people that would say, you know what? I'm not serving him anymore because Mike, I trusted Mike. And he walked away and everything else. But that's not even a valid excuse before heaven.
Yes, right.
But I don't want anyone to even have an excuse for my life. Amen? I don't want someone to even for a minute point to me and say, he's the reason why I'm not coming to Jesus. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that. And that's what drove Paul's ministry. That's what he's saying. But then the question is, even this far into the passage, how are we doing? Right, how are we doing even to this point? Are we living our life offensively to the world? Not because of Jesus, but just the way we're living. And here's the flip side. If you've never offended anybody, you're not telling them the truth. Amen? You can't have it both ways. Verse 4, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience and afflictions and necessities in distresses. You know, he starts to give this list and you always look at what's the first thing on the list. And then when you read the first thing on the list, you're like, I wish it wasn't even on the list, right? Not just in patience. What's it say? In much patience.
Yeah.
Ooh. Paul, why'd you have to write that? Right? And here's the thing, when he's talking about patience, he's not just talking about sitting down and idly waiting passively for something to happen. Right? That's what a lot of people are doing. Oh, I'm patiently waiting. That's not what he's talking about. It is not that just sitting and just waiting for some magical thing. It's an active enduring. That's what it is. That's what the patience. Listen, no matter what goes on, and the much patience is saying, you know what? Whatever happens, I'm not going to stop praying. Amen? No matter what happens, I'm not going to stop getting in His Word. I may not feel like it. I may not be instant in season and out of season, but I'm going to still do what He's called me to do. And that's hard. But what Paul's saying is, hey, we've got to continue on in this thing because there are people watching us. And not only that, we're ambassadors of the King. And much patience. And what happens? We live our lives as ministers of God, servants of Him. It will bring afflictions, pressure against us. We feel those from time to time, don't we? We feel those afflictions, whether they're health or job or different things. The pressure that's on our lives. Necessities or the constraints against us. The distresses, that anguish, the different things that come upon us. We see all these things. He's saying, hey, these things are going to happen. They've happened to me. They're going to happen to you if you follow the Lord and you spread the gospel. These things will happen. He continues. Paul goes on in verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. And here's the thing. If we're honest with ourselves, the church today stops at verse 4. We're not seeing verse 5. Now there are parts of the world that they see verse 5. And Paul, he could go further and say, hey, my afflictions include being whipped, thrown into prison, being saved out of the middle of riots before, watchings or sleepless nights. And he's saying, even if you get that far, you still can endure. You still can endure in much patience.
Amen.
Amen? Even in those times. That doesn't mean Paul never got frustrated. That doesn't mean Paul never lost hope or anything like that. He just knew where to turn whenever these things happened.
Yes. Yes.
and it's the Lord. And that's the same thing we've got to do. Well, then in verse 6, how do we endure? How do we endure these things? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. His success is the same thing I believe will bring us success in afflictions. Again, pureness. Don't stoop down to this world. I was just reading again. Don't be conformed to this world. Amen. This world does not do things fairly. They don't do things purely. They don't do things right. Their motto is, if I'm not going to get caught, I'll slide it in. Amen.
Yeah.
We're not to live like that. We will never get out of a trial cheating and everything else. Amen.
Right.
It will not work. Even if everyone else is immoral, we've got to remain holy. We've got to remain an example. He says, by knowledge. And I believe this is more than just the Word of God. It includes the Word of God. But listen, we've got to educate ourselves because we've got to discern against right and wrong. We just talked about it this morning at the end of the book of Romans. Right? At the end of the book of Romans, what was he saying? There are some you've got to mark and avoid. Amen?
Yeah.
We've got to learn some things around of what's going on. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we've got to learn a lot of technology because either we're going to get scammed by it if we don't learn it, or it's in the hands of our children and we've got to protect them.
Yeah.
It's sad. We've got to learn these things. And again, long-suffering, another word for patience. Thanks, Paul. How do we get through it? With much patience and long suffering. And then he says, kindness and also unfeigned love. And that unfeigned is true love, sincere love, real love.
Amen.
The world cannot imitate that.
That's right.
Right? Unconditional love.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. The world does not know that. Their love is based on conditions. You do what makes me feel good, I'll make you feel good. Amen? I'll stay in the relationship as long as I'm getting what I need. Thank God Jesus never said that to us because He's not getting anything out of us other than rebellion and excuses, laziness and everything else. I'm glad He not only saved us because He loved us, but He's kept us because He loved us. And it's unconditional. Amen.
Amen.
Unfeigned. When we show the world the unfeigned love, they're going to say, now wait a second, that's different. And hopefully that opens the door we can show them Jesus Christ. Amen. And by the Holy Ghost, of course, opening up doors to witness. When we're in the middle of afflictions, what do we have to fight against? The opposite, right? Being bitter, angry, short with people, everything else. That's what the world expects. That's not what God wants us to do. Verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Listen to me, in the hardest times, we need the Bible more than ever.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I've been there and there are times where you don't even want to open it because you know what it's going to say. But we got to get into it. There's precious promises in there that we've got to lean on. Amen. And what I love about the Bible is that it has real people all throughout it. And real people in the Bible, they were frustrated. They were depressed. The great men of God just asked God, basically, take my life. Amen. And if a great man of God will do that, and I get to that point, and I'm so frustrated and in despair that I want to give up and have Him call me home to be with Him, I can know that He's with me and He will not let me go. But He'll continue to be with us. We need His power from His Word. And they've made it, and so can we. And I'll tell you what, when our power is nearing the end, when our resources are near the end, we can remember one thing. His resources are limitless. His power, there's no limit to it. Amen? That's fine when we run out of power because then we're finally relying on Him. He's got an endless supply. But here's the thing. Here's what we can pretend. We can go through this passage and we can read it. We can amen. We can be excited about it. But I'll tell you what, this is a hard passage to apply day in and day out. Whether you're in a trial now or going to be in the future, the afflictions that are coming, it's hard. But what I hope it does is it starts to change our mindset and say, you know what? I don't have to tackle the next trial the way I did the last one. Amen? I can do things the right way. In every affliction, we can follow Paul's lead. Verse 8. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. You know, if we sent out a survey, I hope they love to do this today, they love to send surveys out about everything. If we would have sent a survey out in Paul's day and asked them a bunch of questions about Paul, what do you think of his ministry? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? You think he's a good man? You think he's dishonorable? You think he steals and cheats? Or do you think he's doing this just because he loves the brethren? And I guarantee we'd have got mixed results when they came back. There would have been some people that said, Paul's great. He's a great man. He's doing great things. And others would have nothing but bad things to say about Paul. And guess what? If you didn't know this, if I sent out a survey about every one of us, the same thing would happen with you and I.
Amen.
Man, there's some people that they respect us. They say good things about us when we're not around. And then there's others that, man, you bring up our name and they have nothing but negative to say.
Right.
I believe that's what these verses are talking about. Right? Some would approve of Paul. Some would say they honor him. And some would would disapprove and dishonor him. Right? Some would love him and support his ministry. Other would hate him. And here's the thing. You go through the books that he wrote in the New Testament. There's different times he had to defend himself against his accusers. Amen? But here's the thing. If Paul had to go through that, serving the Lord, so will we. Amen? So will we. We're going to have fans and we're going to have enemies. Right? As we follow the Lord, we're going to have that. We're going to have an evil report out of some people and a good report out of other people. But here's the thing. If it's a good report or a bad report, doesn't matter as much as if it's an evil report, is it true? Is it deserved? Right?
Yeah, true.
There are some people that can say that you run around me long enough and we run around each other long enough, and you'd be able to say some things that say, hey, Mike did something back when. Mike did something the other day. Not very good. And I'd have to say it's right. It's true. And that's what we're trying to minimize. Amen. We're trying to say, you know what? I can't help the people that are just going to slander our names. But what I can is I don't want to give them real ammunition to talk about us. Amen. If we treat someone unfairly, then the evil report is true. We'll never have a good report from everyone, so there's got to be a balance, and we just have to be ready for it. Right? Deceivers and yet true. What is our job? Our job, what does the gospel do among many things? The gospel brings people that are in deception out of that into the truth. Amen? They're being deceived by the devil and the lies of this world and everything else. They're in deception. And that is one of the devil's tools, is to deceive. So it brings them into the truth. So what's the devil want to do? He wants to turn us into being deceivers. Amen? Right? What do they call our church? There are some people that say this church is a blessing. There's other people that say it's a cult. You know, as if we keep you here or anything else. I don't know where they get it from, but there's going to be evil reports. Amen? It's going to happen. We just can't add to that. Because listen, if we lose our trust in this world, there's no way we're going to have them trust in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And then finally, it talks about being unknown yet well known. It's one of the last things he talks about. Listen, we're in the middle of farm fields out here in the rural part of Ohio. That's where we're at right now. And a lot of people don't even know we exist. Amen? But that's okay. That's all right. There's a lot of people that don't. And there are some people that know we're here. And then we also put things online so some people know about us in different parts of the world. But here's the thing. Whether we make a name for ourselves or a name for our church in this grand scheme of thing, or whether we just stay obscure in a rural church out in the middle of nowhere, either way, as long as we're doing what God has called us to do, that's what's important. If hardly anyone in this world knows who I am, yet when I get to heaven, the Lord knows who I am, and the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful in a few things, right? Because that's about it, it's a few things. That's all that matters to me.
Yes.
unknown yet well known. We're well known in heaven every time we do the Father's will. And then he goes on, we're the light of the world, broadcasting the truth, right? Chastened but not killed. Verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Right? Here's the thing, in afflictions, it's not natural to be happy. Right? We're not happy when things go wrong. Right? We're not happy when the trials come and that sorrow starts to well up. But here's the thing. Paul told us, he gave an example. He said, hey, we're counted worthy to suffer. And some of the others did as well. We're even worthy to suffer affliction for the Lord. That's a worthiness thing, because they know that we're bringing the truth. And here's the thing. Our enemies would leave us alone if we dropped the truth of the gospel. If we got rid of the offensive parts. If we cut out the sin part, if we cut out hell and everything else, our enemies would go away. But it's not worth it. Amen?
Amen.
It's not worth it. We can't forsake the truth to make everyone like us. We're not rich to the world's standards. But I'll tell you what, we got plenty of money to live by. We're not begging bread. Right? We're not poor. We're not needing of things. Yes, sometimes the money gets tighter. Sometimes the paycheck comes in, and as quick as it comes out, you send it on its way and everything else. But I'll tell you what, God has blessed us over and over again richly. We're a child of the King. We have all the riches of heaven at our disposal. Amen. Even before we get there, we've got it. But yet it says, as poor, yet making many rich. I'll tell you what, I don't have enough money to make this whole world rich, not from my wallet, but I'll tell you what, I can make this whole world rich if they would come to the one that owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He loves us today. His riches are at his disposal. We possess all things because Jesus has it all. So where are you at today? Maybe you're in a hard spot in your life, a spiritual low point, and questioning, what's going on? Why am I in this place? Why am I feeling this way? What is it? What's bringing you down? What's hindering you right now? What's burdening you? Is it your emotions? Sometimes our emotions can do that. One thing I learned a long time ago, emotions are deceptive. I can feel happy doing something sinful, and I can feel bad doing something that the Lord told me to do. Amen. We can't trust in our emotions. So just because things don't feel good doesn't mean things aren't going the right way. Right? Doesn't mean we're not on the right track. A lot of times when those emotions well up, we've got to ground ourselves in the Word. That doesn't mean that things will never feel good or never feel right. But I'm telling you what, I can't always rely on everything feeling good when I'm doing the Lord's work. Well, maybe what's getting you down, maybe it's your circumstances right now. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's exactly, some things are shared, but not everything is shared. But I'm here to tell you, things will not always go smoothly in this life. Amen. We will have our problems. And when we get, when one problem ends, it seems like another one replaces it before the one even went away. This happens. And is your spiritual life being hindered because of your circumstances? We cannot allow that. Listen, go back to what Paul said. Verse 5, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings. We're not even doing half of that. Yet we're going to let the devil get us down for some things that are going on in this world and cause us to quit serving where he wants us to be and cause us to quit trusting in his word and cause us to quit praying. God forbid, we can't allow that. We can't. Things aren't going to go smoothly. But what does he say? You've got to face each day with much patience. We want our lives to be controlled. We want to be in total control of our lives. We want everything to be trouble-free. But if you're a true ambassador for Jesus Christ, that is impossible. It's impossible. We can't let our circumstances hinder us. And I'll go back to again, what are we to do? Verses 6 and 7. Maybe you need to mark this in your Bible. Maybe you need to write it down, memorize it, whatever. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. We need these verses in the good times and in the bad times. And I'll tell you what, our ministry down here, we're going to have fans, we're going to have foes, that's all right. But I'll tell you what, in the end, if we stay true to the Lord, if we stick in the middle of His Word and His will, sometimes a foe becomes a brother and sister in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes the ones that were working so hard against us realized they were really fighting against the Lord, and they thought it was us, but it was really the Lord. Won't it be wonderful, some of those ones going against you right now, if you were to be able to lead them to the Lord? How amazing would that be? Listen, church, we can make it. Amen?
Amen.
We can keep going. Time is drawing near. That doesn't mean we're going to sit around and wait and listen for the trumpet. That means we're going to do what God's called us to do right up until the end. Amen? I don't want to waste any time. Do you? I'm not going to make everyone happy with me, and that's okay. But I also don't want to be anyone's excuse. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't want to hinder anyone from the Lord. And to do that, I have to stay in the center of His will and act a certain way that's not normal. And the only way we can do that is through the power of God. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.